Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ron Brown, who sells gold and silver coins. And we always enjoy having him on the program once a month. Hi, Ron. How are we doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan.
Well, these are certainly exciting times, and Sydney, tell us what you think about what's going on today. How do we make any sense out of what's going on in Europe? How do we make any sense about what's going on in the United States? How do we make any sense about what's going on in England, where, of course, they refuse to go along with the transformation of Europe into one consolidated new country, and then what's going on in China? Let's get your rundown.
Well, you know, I don't know where to start, but we all know there's an agenda going by the big bankers to try to create their one-world government. The European Union was the first start of it, and everyone knew it would fail. But as it fails, tyranny always works the same way. You first use the crisis as an excuse to impose draconian solutions, and now they're trying to get the governments of the European nations to give up their sovereignty and turn it over to a group of elitists to force the system to work. And it's just another consolidation of power. But, you know, when you step back and look at it, our whole world financial system, bottom line, is nothing more than a gigantic confidence game. And as the debt keeps growing bigger and bigger, it gets harder and harder to sustain, and the bankers and the politicians are having to do ever more desperate things to hold the house of cards together, and as they do that, they threaten confidence. And bottom line, if you lose confidence in a confidence game, you got a real problem, and that's basically what's starting to happen.
Well, I think a lot of people know something seriously wrong. They just can't connect the dots. Suddenly it should be obvious to everybody who listens to our program that there is a small group of people that control the finances of the world. We call them the central banks, the international bankers. And Sydney, this is in part what the people in Occupy Wall Street are ranting against. They're talking about the 1%, and where the 99% of those people in the 1% are taking advantage of the system, and they're absolutely right. But what they don't understand is, of course, that many of the people are saying, you know, what we need is more power to the government to take care of these wicked people who are suddenly taking advantage of the system and robbing us blind. Whereas the truth of the matter is, of course, that's exactly what they want. They want to increase the power of government. And, of course, that's why I believe that at least the leaders of this movement are being financed. Now, I talked to a young man today who's part of Occupy Wall Street, and he said there are a lot of people there from the Tea Party. There are a lot of people there who are Ron Paul supporters, and they're keeping in touch by tweetering. But there's growing awareness of what's going on. And to me, that was very, very encouraging. But I think Ron's absolutely right. This is all time. There's a timetable. And what they've done is suddenly just 20 years after the formation of the European Union, now, of course, they're saying, well, gee, there's all sorts of financial problems. We're just going to have to increase the power of the central authority. They're going to have legal means by which the courts, which we will control, will tell the countries what to do. And we will control everything. And because the new leader of Greece comes from the Trilateral Commission, the new leader of Sydney, of Italy as well.
Exactly.
Well, Ron, you go right ahead.
Well, the big things in the news now that really threaten to destroy the confidence that was discussing is this.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Out every month so that when December came around, he was going to take delivery on whatever amount of gold he said was somewhere in the six figures. But one day he gets a call from his broker who says, you've got a margin call. He says, oh, you can't give me a margin call. I've got enough money in there to buy the gold outright. And they said, well, you used to, but you don't anymore. And what they've done is they've taken the money, they've stolen the money from his account, which they're not supposed to do. And somehow it got transferred to J.P. Morgan. And now, of course, what they have done is they've done this to thousands and thousands, probably 20,000 or more people who had been in the commodity market. And what they have proven and what we've always suspected is the whole thing is a crooked game. And basically, Mr. Corzine, who says he's former CEO of Goldman Sachs, he's formerly in key positions in government. Mr. Corzine says, I have no idea how that happened. I think he was a governor of one of the state, as I remember. And he just says, I have no idea how this happened. Well, certainly before this happened, he had actually signed a paper saying that the accounts were in good shape. He resigned about the 1st of November, just a little over a month ago. But he said, I'm not responsible. I didn't steal the money. Well, but he had to know that the money had been taken out of the accounts and used to cover, of course, Global's account where they had lost a great deal of money. What this really means is that simply you cannot trust the commodity market in the future. Whether these people get their money back, I don't know. Mr. Corzine should go to prison. He had to know what was going on. There's no way he could not have known. You do not suddenly resign just in November 1st when the whole system is about to collapse unless you know what's coming down the line. But simply Mr. Sidney Corzine being an insider, part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, these people never get put in prison or certainly punished severely. They make a little fine and, I filled out a form I shouldn't have filled out. Somebody is responsible, and yet they're saying, you know, we just can't figure out what happened. How could they be that incompetent? They're not that incompetent. They just don't want the American people to know that the whole financial system is totally corrupt, and if you're playing the game, well, you're going to get burned. Go ahead.
And to take it another step, for example, when Adolf Hitler took over, the Nazis took over Germany, they did it all under the letter of the law. So this hypothecation, whenever you're buying some on leverage, you've actually put up all the money in your account and the investment as collateral to the loan from the banks. Now, the rehypothecation is another step forward, and that is the broker can now use your funds, which have already been hypothecated, but they can rehypothecate them. In other words, the bank or the brokerage firm can now use your fund as collateral to trade their own accounts. And that's what MF Global apparently were doing, according to the people I'm reading. So under the letter of the law, it says clearly in the small print in your contract, it says they can do that. So according to Jim Willie and other people I'm reading, legally, the people who had their money stolen have no recourse. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, that has serious implications because, one, it's destroying confidence in all leveraged margin accounts. And, you know, if that can happen in your commodity account, it couldn't it also happen in your stock trading account or even your banking account? So it's destroying the confidence people have in their assets that are in paper form. And consider also that it's going to have tremendous implications not only in the gold and silver market but in the commodity market because the producers and the middlemen in let's say, the cattle or the wheat industry, they also use the futures market to conduct their business. And when you freeze that up, you're basically freezing up the whole system, which could have serious implications for the distribution of food.
Well, Sidney, the whole system is built upon trust. You cannot trust these people. They're part of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. They're crooks. They're going to exploit the system. We know that during the Great Depression, a lot of the banks went down. Now, supposedly, why? Because that money was supposed to be secured, but it wasn't secured. And the people lost everything. Well, now we have, of course, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, which supposedly guarantees all of the bank accounts. So you have nothing to worry about. The money you have in the bank is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States. But the trouble is the FDIC doesn't have any money. They're 25th. The last thing I heard, they were $25 million or so behind maybe it was $25 billion, I don't know, but they do not have enough money to cover the bank deposits. So they say, well, but we have the backing of the Treasury. The trouble is the Treasury doesn't have any money. Well, they have to go out and borrow it. Today, the Treasury is borrowing 40 cents of every dollar it's spending, and it's going behind, you know, about $1.5 billion every single day. And if there is a major catastrophe, they would simply have to create that money out of nothing, and this, down the line, is going to lead to inflation. Have you read that the treatise put forward by certainly John Williams on his website, shadowstats.com, on hyperinflation 2011?
I've got an excerpt of it. And
it is well worthwhile pulling down. It's about 65 pages, but I've read it through twice. And basically he's saying that there is no way that they can avoid prevent hyperinflation. Now, he's not talking about the type they had in the Weimar Republic. He's talking of inflation rate, maybe a 50%, 25 to 50% a year. 50% a year for 2 years means that your wealth is gone. He says that this will be here certainly by 2014 or sooner, that's 3 years from now. There is no way it can be prevented. And then what's the solution? He said, you know, get gold and silver, and, you know, get yourself, you know, food and water and a means of protecting yourself, things to barter. Maybe you want to barter whiskey. He's sounding just like he reads Bob Chapman or you and me.
That's right. And, you know, one thing he said in that report is that since November a year ago, that the Fed is having to monetize, in his words, 107% of our bond market, of our debt. So, in other words, the world, our creditors have basically cut us off, and that in the bond market, if the Treasury goes to the market to issue new bonds or to recycle old bonds, and there's no one there to buy them, then you have a disaster in the bond market. The bond market collapses, and by definition, when the bond market goes down, interest rates spike through the roof, and when you have a national debt of admitted $15 trillion, if you really get into what it really is, there's no telling where it is, you start spiking interest rates from this 1 or 2 or 3 or 4% and take it up to 10, 15, 20% like we had back in 79, 80, then the whole system implodes on itself. And, of course, that's exactly what's happened in Europe already because the creditors have lost confidence in the sovereign debt of Greece and Italy and the other countries, and they're pulling their money out. So the insolvent banks are becoming illiquid. Now the last thing I saw was that the U.S. Fed was stepping in to bail them out with smoke and mirrors. So it's just a house of cards, and the only thing that's holding it together is the printed press and the deception. And as more and more people wake up to it, the confidence gain starts to unravel, and it's starting to accelerate very, very quickly now, and people need to be alerted to that.
And I think those people have to understand that the people over in Europe, they're pulling their money out of the bank. People in Greece are putting their money out of the bank. Lloyd's of London, they have been around for 312 years. They're putting their money out of the banks in Europe. We're told that they're putting it into the European Central Bank, the ECB over there, their central bank for the European Union. And they don't get any interest at all, but they want it there. They think it's going to be safe. A lot of the people in Europe are pulling their money out of the banks there and bringing it to the United States, which is why the dollar is doing fairly well, certainly holding its own. They're investing here because they don't know where else to put their money. They're not thinking clearly. Rather than buying gold and silver, they're trying to find banks that they think will hold up. They think America will hold up. But what happens when they begin to lose confidence in the American banking system? And believe me, of course, if Greece begins to default on its loans, if Italy begins to default on its loans, and they say it's not going to happen because, of course, the countries over there are going to put up money, but they're only going to put up maybe $250 billion. They really need $3 to $5 trillion, and they're not putting up enough money. So if the banks begin to default on their loans, will trigger off the derivative market, and the derivative market is up to about $700 trillion. Now there's only about $60 trillion in the whole world. The derivative market's up to about $770 trillion, and if that begins to come down, the whole world monetary system collapses. And this, I think, is exactly what is planned. It's only a matter of not if, but when. These people in charge know exactly what they're doing. And this is not simply by accident. The new premier of Greece comes from the Trilateral Commission. The new premier of Italy comes from the Trilateral Commission. Six of the eight presidents of World Bank between the year 1977 and 2008 came from the Trilateral Commission. 8 of the 10 World Trade Representatives during that period came from the Trilateral Commission. 5 of the 6 vice presidents came from that position. Between 77 and the year of 2008, every president and or vice president came from the 75-80 members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. We are under control, ladies and gentlemen. Go right ahead, Ron.
You know, another example of destroying the confidence, Ann Barnhart, have you heard about her situation?
Yes, but you want...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Solvent situation. I think many of them are going to be facing financial poverty. Now, you may not believe this, but at least get half of what you have out. Because if things go as badly as Ron and I think they're going, why, of course, at least you'll have half of your life savings. But it was Jimmy Rogers, of course, the legendary investor, who posted an article just this last week where he talked about how a whole class of investors was going to be bankrupted. And he was really talking about the middle class, the people who have conventional investments. And he just simply said, we're going to have inflation. The whole class of investors are going to get wiped out. And he is, of course, suggesting commodities. safe currencies. You mentioned the Australian dollar, the Canadian dollar, I think the Chilean peso, something of the sort. But most of the currencies are not solvent. And he, Chris mentions that he has gold and silver. He thinks maybe the price of gold was going to go down, which it certainly has. And he says it gets down to the 1600 range per ounce, he's going to buy more. But I think Jimmy Rogers, living over in Singapore, is able to anticipate what's coming down the line. Certainly he's done very well being a multi-billionaire, starting with relatively little and having multi-billions of dollars. And he's trying to warn people. The financial system as we know it, is imploding. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. How is the gold and silver business holding up, Ron?
You know, it's kind of strange. For the last 2 or 3 months, it's kind of spotty. It's still been fairly strong, but compared to what it's been for the last 2 years prior to that, it's, you know, maybe a third or fourth of what I was doing. So people are kind of like a deer in the headlights. They don't know what to make of things. You know, I've said for years now that as long as you get the price of gold and silver off of these commodity exchanges where you have speculators trading leveraged contracts, then these bankers can control the price. They can ambush it at will. That's exactly what they've been doing for the last 20, 30 years. You know, think back to last May 1st or so, silver had approached as almost $50 an ounce, and then they busted it from $50 to, what, $26, $27 in a matter of 4 or 5 days. And how did they do it? Well, they simply stepped in and changed the rules of the game. They raised the margin requirements to trade a contract 5 times in a 2-week period, doubled the amount of money you had to play the game. Then they trot out a George Soros type and some other establishments and say, oh, the gold and silver market is a bubble ready to pop. And at that point, all these bankers have to do is start selling contracts and selling until they force the price down. And once it starts down, it starts to trigger stop-loss orders, which triggers more selling, which then triggers a panic and a margin massacre, and that's how they flush the market out. And then, of course, who's the big buyers when it drops down? It's the very bankers forced it down. So it's manipulation of the market. But see, at some point they will lose control of that because you have big, big players around the globe who have been methodically milking this market for, and see, as long as Morgan Chase and these guys can come up with some gold or silver to deliver it on those contracts to China and wherever, then these Asian bankers or whatever will play the game. And see, they don't mind watching Morgan Chase drop the price down because they want to buy as much gold and silver at the cheapest price they can. So eventually, though, and I think we're starting to get close to this, is that Morgan Chase will run out of gold and silver to deliver on those contracts. And at that point, I think with these big players around the globe coming out of China, they will simply pull the plug on the COMEX and the London Metal Exchange, force Morgan Chase and them to deliver on those contracts, and they can't. And when they default, it will destroy the credibility of the exchanges themselves. So it was the exchange's responsibility to do what? Make sure both the parties playing the game could honor their bets. And when they default on hundreds of millions of ounces of silver, it will become obvious, it isn't already, to the rest of the world that the bankers or the exchanges were simply in cahoots with the bankers to suppress and manipulate the price.
I think it's very interesting, apparently, down in Mexico, why certainly many members of the legislature are trying to have a new silver-backed currency down there, a new silver currency, a peso, 50 pesos, something like that. So there's increasing pressure in Mexico to get to a currency that has intrinsic value. People don't understand there has to be some sort of an anchor, otherwise, why... Governments just keep increasing and increasing and increasing the amount of money out there until the whole system collapses. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Give us a call. Certainly, I think we should comment about what's happening over the Near East, the Middle East. Sybil Edmonds, and you can pull down her articles. I've talked to Sybil. I think that she's an honest individual. And certainly, she has come up with an article that's been, I think it was on both the Drudge Report and the Alex Jones program, talking about how Special Forces troops are now stationed in Jordan immediately next to the border with Syria. Obviously, we are going to get involved more with Syria and the revolution there as we move to turn Syria over to the Muslim Brotherhood, as we have. We've turned to Egypt over the Muslim Brotherhood, Tunisia over the Muslim Brotherhood, Libya over the Muslim Brotherhood, Turkey to the Muslim Brotherhood, Lebanon to the Muslim Brotherhood. We're going to turn Syria over to the Muslim Brotherhood as well. But why are Special Forces troops being sent into Jordan immediately adjacent to the border? If you want to check that out, you can go to the internet and type in Sybil Edmonds. Sybil Edmonds, and then, of course, troops in Jordan, something of that sort. Now, the other thing is, of course, we're being told that we're pulling all of our combat troops, certainly, out of Iraq. Where are they going? Well, a lot of them are going into Kuwait, so we can move them back into Iraq quickly when we expand the war in the Middle East. We're leaving 17,000 personnel at the embassy there in Baghdad. We have, I think, another three or four of the largest military bases in the world. They're talking, this is 17,000 people, many of them armed combat troops, or ex-Marines, ex-Special Forces, And, of course, we're going to be paying them three or four times as much if they were just regular military. But, of course, they're not combat troops. They're simply armed contractors trained as murderers, mercenaries now, and they're going to be stationed in Iraq. So basically, when they tell you they pulled all of our combat troops out, they're simply, it's a half-truth. And certainly, that 17,000 personnel, I believe, is just the embassy contingent. There's going to be massive forces in these other major military bases we have over there. And whether those will be Air Force personnel or certainly the contractors, we don't know. And certainly the Obama administration wants to make you think that President Obama has kept his word. We pulled out the combat troops. We put in armed contractors, all trained by our military, most of them trained by our military. So basically, of course, they're anticipating another major war in that part of the world. I don't know what's coming about. It may be soon. It may be later. But we're not going to pull our troops out. Excellent program on Monday with the Brian Williams program, where Ted Koppel was over there in Baghdad, came back and readily admitted that this whole facade we're pulling our troops out is just a facade to confuse the American people. And Sydney, but my concern is that the next war is going to be, in that region, is going to end up being a nuclear war. I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but certainly Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and Israel has nuclear weapons, and India has nuclear weapons, and China and India have nuclear weapons. And certainly if there is a nuclear war, hundreds of millions of people will die, and America will not come out of this unscathed. And I think it's only a matter of time before the next war comes. I think it's planned. I don't know what the timetable is, but I think everyone here should be deeply concerned. And we should simply be asking, why are we still keeping 90,000 combat troops in Afghanistan when there are only 50 members of Al-Qaeda? And nobody ever talks about that. Well, Ron, what's your take on what's happening from that point of view? Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Ron, before we go on and you answer the question, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get hold of you, how they can get the hold of the information you make available.
My number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. And I just invite people to call me. What I do, I used to write letters periodically, but I'm so busy with my business that what I do now is I put people who are interested in keeping up with what's going on, I put them on my mailing list and get their email address. And then when I'm every day, there must be someone calling right now, but I read, 10, 15, 20 articles every day, and when I see some important things, I'll forward that to the people on my list, and that way you can keep them kind of abreast. They don't have to read all the thousands of articles out there that could just overwhelm you. But I just try to keep people educated on what's going on.
Well, I'm deeply concerned about what's going on here in the United States as far as our economy is concerned, because, of course, they're simply lying to the American people. We were told, oh, my goodness, unemployment's going down. Unemployment rate went from 9% down to 8.6%. Isn't that wonderful? Well, it would be wonderful if it were true, but basically, of course, figures don't lie. But liars do figure, and liars are employed by the American government, and they're told what to say, and they come up with all sorts of faulty statistics. Now, the latest statistics that just came out pointing out that we had a 4% drop in unemployment, 0.4% drop in unemployment, going from 9% to 8.6%, is a half-truth. It is how you calculate it. Actually, there were 487,000 after almost 500,000 people who, of course, are no longer counted as unemployed because they've dropped out of looking for a job and they're no longer getting unemployment insurance. So they are no longer in the statistics. If they were counted, why, of course, it would be 8.9% unemployment. And then, of course, you have to understand, they say, oh, 120,000 new jobs last month. Well, you have to have 150,000 new jobs every month just to keep even, or you go behind as far as all the new people coming into the labor force. But the reason, of course, we suddenly had a pickup in employment, small as it was, is because of the short-term Christmas jobs. They take a lot more people, and certainly it's Christmas time. But we're not having any real increase in the number of new jobs. It was interesting. I mean, I think it was just last Sunday when Steve Croft interviewed President Obama in the White House. And he was saying, you know, don't blame me for the unemployment level. When I came to office, we'd lost 8 million jobs. Well, that isn't true. We'd lost 7 million jobs. We've lost another million jobs since he came in there. But, of course, the number keeps going up because we're doing everything we can to encourage our corporations to move overseas. You move your corporation overseas, why, you don't have to pay any corporate taxes in America. You keep your corporation here, you're going to pay a 35% tax. If you were a major corporation, would you stay in America or would you go overseas? President Obama has appointed a new job czar, and it's the CEO of General Electric, who actually made something like $6 billion in the United States last year and didn't pay any income taxes. But the new jobs are to get new jobs is from GE, and that's his assignment. But he is actually getting lots of new jobs. But they're all in China. General Electric is shifting Westinghouse and a number of other divisions. It may not be Westinghouse, maybe one of its other divisions, or I think it has to do with the motors for the big planes. They're shifting all of this to China. They're going to be creating hundreds of thousands of new jobs, but those new jobs are in China. And, of course, they tell us, well, but look what a wonderful job we did with General Motors. And I would say, you did a wonderful job with General Motors. First of all, General Motors opened all sorts of new plants overseas. You did, of course, manufacture the Volt, which no private enterprise would possibly have done. Why? Because they lose $10,000 on every one they sell. They lose $10,000. The government subsidizes $10,000 to General Motors every time they sell one of those. And the government has bought 50,000 of these battery-powered Sydney cars. Basically, 6,000 have been bought by private individuals, 50,000 by the government. Now they finally catch on fire. People don't want to buy them. The government's offering to buy back the 6,000. Anybody who has a Volt who is concerned because they catch on fire and after an accident, they'll buy it back again. No private corporation would do that. But we're not dealing with a private corporation. We're dealing with a government agency So they're not spending their money, they're spending our money, and they're losing money all the time. But the average American is never allowed to hear these things. All you get is, of course, is the controlled media. And the controlled media wants you to think that government can create jobs. Government can't create jobs. Only private industry can create jobs, and we're doing everything we can to encourage our corporations to move overseas. Why? Because our leaders are globalists. They want to build up the economy in China and Malaysia and in India and in other countries as they lower the living standards here in the United States. And once you understand that, it all makes sense. Otherwise, if you look at it logically, very little in the United States that's going on today makes sense. What are your thoughts, Ron?
You summed it up pretty well. You know, to create a one world government that they want, you have to destroy the middle class, and of course it's exactly what they've been doing to America. I always use the quote from Richard Gardner back in the 70s, a trilateralist, and he said, what we must do is take an interim around national sovereignty to erode it piece by piece, to raise the standard of living of the undeveloped countries of the world while we lower the standard of living in America so they can more comfortably be merged into a new world order. And I've always said if I could have taken that one little quote, put it in fancy calligraphy and sent it out to every citizen and say, put this above your TV set, and every night when you watch the news, you look at that quote and say, where does this latest piece of news fit into that equation? And everything would have suddenly made perfect sense to you. So we've been assuming that these politicians are a bunch of idiots, but they have been able to unravel our country, send it overseas, and not one in 100 understands what they've done to it. That ain't stupidity. That's brilliance.
I think you're absolutely right. They just spent all their time with the political theater arguing back and forth in Congress and never addressing the real issues. What do we need to do? Why, of course, we need to massively cut government spending. You can't be spending 42 or 43 cents out of every dollar you don't have. You have to borrow that. You've got to cut government spending, but not one of the major party candidates has come up with an effective program. Certainly Romney's come up with some sort of a program, but of course he won't quite tell you what it is. Ron Paul's come up with an excellent program. He'll tell you exactly what he's going to do. He's going to cut $1 trillion in spending the first year. He's going to get rid of the Department of Education. He's going to get rid of the Department of Energy, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Commerce Department. He's going to do away with the TSA, that's the people who check people in at the airports. He's going to do away with foreign aid, he says. You know, foreign aid is taking money from poor people in a rich country to give to rich people in a poor country. He's against foreign aid to Israel, as he points out, and everybody's saying, oh, you're anti-Israel. He says, no, I'm not anti-Israel. But basically, of course, we give $3 billion to Israel. We give $12 billion to their enemies. And when we give money to Israel, we dictate their policies. And the policies we're dictating to Israel are not in their best interest. And that's absolutely true. I mean, basically, it was the American establishment that forced Israel to pull out of Gaza so that, of course, Hamas could move in there and then use that as a base for sending their missiles into Israel. Certainly, when Israel was ready to win the war with Hezbollah in 2006, we insisted that they stop, and so Hezbollah could continue building and consolidating its position and position some 50,000 missiles in Lebanon and now control the Lebanese government. And that never would have happened if Israel had been its own master and be able to do what needed to be done to protect Israel. And Ron Paul is absolutely right. Our policies, which we force on Israel because we give them money, has done more to undermine the stability and safety of the Israeli people than anything else. And yet, of course, he's being labeled as being anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. He's the only one who really wants to give them the opportunity to defend themselves and to prosper rather than to be subservient to the United States. And the elite here, nobody ever points out that Netanyahu, the current prime minister of Israel, was certainly appointed by the Council on Foreign Relations. He himself in the past has been a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's totally controlled by Henry Kissinger, who, of course, is one of the key diabolical agents behind this everything that's going on today. But, Sidney, what do you think of Ron Paul's chances of getting the nomination? Certainly, I thought he's looking like he might very well come in second there in Iowa, despite the fact that the media, they control media, is doing everything they can to discredit him. I don't know if you've seen those ads he's running there in Iowa about Newt Gingrich, but I think he's doing a pretty good job.
Well, he's obviously the man, and of course he's the man that the establishment just can't get rid of, but they put him down in every way they can. They ignore him as best they can. Who is that comedian on the Tonight?
That's the Jay Leno you're thinking of.
No, not Jay Leno. John, going blank on his... Late Night Show with John something.
Oh, All right. Well, apparently, Ron Paul is going to be on with Jay Leno this Friday.
Yeah, I heard
I will
that.
Be watching that. I don't know who you're speaking. I don't stay up for the late night show, I'm afraid.
Well, I don't either, but I saw it on Google. But he did a wonderful routine because he was showing all the establishment people from the news, the conservative networks. And they were just ignoring Ron Paul, and he just did a whole routine on it to just expose how they just try to put him down, and it was amazing. But Ron Paul's our man, and it'll be hard for him to get through because I think if people even woke up, I'm not sure the elections weren't rigged to begin with.
Well, it may very well be, but there's a growing awareness on the part of a large number of people that all the rest of the candidates certainly are not to be trusted. Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Ron Brown to wrap up tonight's program. Ron, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, I don't know where to start, Dr. Stan,
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine, so Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Beginning to contract. Of course, they can hold it together certainly by simply massively inflating and printing more and more money. But the longer they wait to liquidate the debt, the worse the situation is going to be. And so they are certainly doing everything they can to avoid what's proper. But you're going to see increasingly, as you read your newspapers and read your magazines, and listen to your radio, the word austerity. Austerity, austerity. You'll see it just jump off the pages. And what they're really talking about is cutting back on the benefits. cutting back on the medical care, cutting back on the food stamps, cutting back on the housing allowances, cutting back on the scholarships, cutting back certainly on all the government expenditures. And because this is, if you do this during a recession, it only makes a recession worse. And yet this is exactly what has to be done. There's going to be more and more people losing their homes, more and more people losing their jobs. If you're working for a government agency, you're either not going to get your increase in salary or going to take salary cuts. If you go over to Europe, in one of those countries, they've already cut the salaries by 20%. And I think the same thing is going to happen here. And they're going to have to try to get the budget deficit under control. And everybody's going to yell and scream, but it's not going to do any good, because they control both political parties. They are going to determine what's going to happen, and whether it's going to be now or a year or two from here now, I can't tell you. But we're heading into very difficult times. Get your financial house in order. Get out of debt and make your preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. We have a little pamphlet called The History of Money, another one called Prophetic Warning. They're actually compilations of my newsletters. Prophetic Warning is simply the speech that was given by Andrew Jackson, President Andrew Jackson, in 1837, warning against the banks and what would happen if they ever gained control of our government. Ladies and gentlemen, they control our government today. And of course, the History of Money will certainly go into the writings of Professor Carol Quigley and his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, where he tells you how the central bankers of the world hold secret meetings all the time to plan how they will impose a feudalistic society. And this was written in 1966, or published in 1966. We have the entire book. It's well worthwhile reading to get his view. He was an economist as well as a historian. And, of course, he understood the secret societies, and he sympathized with them. He thought we need an elite to look after us common people, and he sided with the great banks, of course, who are controlling our economy, and both political parties. And as he talks about how we don't go into wars any longer to win them, and how certainly everything is manipulated by the secret societies. He writes extensively about the secret societies. They exist. How do I know they exist? Because I went back to Georgetown University, and I went to Professor Quigley's papers before they laundered them, and we covered much of this in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We made copies of what he wrote. I talked to his wife. I talked to his mistress. I talked to his secretary. I talked to his best friend. Professor Quigley had died by that time. But we got a pretty good view of what was going on. And so you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the book, The Coming Battle. It was written in 1899. It talks about, certainly about how what happens when the banks control our government. And lastly, the classic book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Creature from Jekyll Island by Ed Griffin, vitally important. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to read my book, though, Brotherhood of Darkness. It'll give you the overview. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley. Pray for Congressman Ron Paul, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
And beside her, and God.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, managers, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Douglas Hamp. And we're going to be talking about his book, Corrupting the Image. And then it is subtitled Angels, Aliens, and the Antichrist Revealed. Aliens, Angels, and the Antichrist Revealed. Douglas, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, Douglas has written extensively on religious topics. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, your background, and what this book is, because it's a fascinating book, and it gets into transhumanism. It gets into Nephilim. It gets into the spiritual forces working behind the scenes, preparing for the destruction of society as we know it. And, Chris, coming down to the final chapter of the prophetic, of the prophecies that were recorded some 6,000 years ago. Why don't you tell us who you are, how you happened to write the book, and, Chris, what your thesis is?
Okay. Well, I've been a believer most of my life. I went to the Hebrew University in Jerusalem from 1997 to 2000, got a master's degree in the Hebrew Bible and its world from the Hebrew University. And the last 8 years, I've been involved with Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, as a pastor and teaching at the School of Ministry, which is a type of seminary. I teach Hebrew, Greek, and theology and a number of other classes. And I got into this topic. I really wasn't expecting to get into this topic, to be honest. I was really focused on creationism. My second book I wrote on the first 6 days, confronting the God plus evolution myth. And, you know, I think we all got a wake-up call several years ago, 2007, 2008. And, you know, then my interest really started to just go off on things of prophecy and you know, I believed in prophecy, and I was a decent student at it, and not a bad teacher. But I guess having taught it for a number of years, I really became keenly interested in putting all these pieces together. And you know, like you said, that the reality is a lot stranger than fiction very often. And I was confronted with a number of videos, one having to do with the events of 9/11, which I looked into and I found they were quite shocking. And then I just, you know, continued following that rabbit hole, as it were. I discovered a lot of things about the Federal Reserve, and I've read Edward G. Griffin's book, and it's, of course, riveting. I mean, 600 pages. I couldn't put the thing down. It was pretty big, but it was really a real page-turner. And, you know, I just started looking and seeing what is going on, and the Bible is our foundation. That is where the true revelation has come from. So if we're going to discover something, it first has to come from the Bible, and then we can see how it pairs out in reality, or I should say in, you know, our daily lives. So as I began to consider Genesis 3:15, where you have the two prophecies of the seeds, you have the seed of the woman, and you have the seed of the serpent. And so I was looking at this verse, and I realized that if her seed results in the Lord Jesus' incarnation, then what would your seed, referring to the Satan, Satan's seed, what is that referring to? And so as I continued to look at that, I asked myself, what is a seed? And I came to some rather startling conclusions. And so just to kind of give a really quick synopsis, my basic thesis is all based on Genesis 3:15, and that the Antichrist is going to be a true counterfeit, not only in spirit, but also in genetic...
Hold that thought, genetic makeup.
Okay.
Go right ahead, Doug.
Yeah, it'd be of genetic makeup. So just as the Lord had these two natures, if you will. He had that of humanity and, of course, God being God incarnate. So, too, the enemy, Satan, is going to try to mimic that and imitate it when he raises up the Antichrist.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. I think that Satanism and the various forces around them, I believe, is simply a mirror image of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I think there'll be the Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. But basically, people can't understand that. I mean, these things sound so ethereal, you know. This is, well, that's religion. You know, we live in a real world. And what we try to do through my ministry and my programs is to try to correlate the fact that you cannot separate one from the other. Mm-hmm. The battle we're in, we may talk about it being a monetary war, or a psychological war. We may talk about certainly conflicts between nations. We can talk about financial issues. But behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. So you pick up the story.
Well, what I did, you know, and especially since we're approaching Christmas, the whole concept of the virgin birth is very much at the heart of this. And we see a number of texts in Scripture. First of all, we see that Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, they were perfect. They were able to dwell perfectly in God's presence. We're told that God came in the cool of the evening. He was sort of going for a stroll. I can do what the language is saying there. And when they fell, they had to cover themselves. They were no longer comfortable being in his presence. And something changed. And the clue, part of the answer comes from what we're going to become in the age to come. Jesus says in Matthew 13 that those who are the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of my Father. Daniel 12, verse 2, says that the righteous will shine like the firmament, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever. In Revelation 19, verse 8, it says, to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, pure and bright, and the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And so in all of these places, and there are other scriptures that talk about how we're going to have this body of light. We're going to have a body that will be compatible with being in God's presence. And we're told in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel, and other places, Isaiah as well, that God is fire. He has fire coming out of his person, and we need to have a body that is compatible with
that.
Hold that thought.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Doug is simply talking about what is going on prophetically, and that basically, of course, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they had almost a radiation. They were emitting light from them, and the references there. But after, of course, they had sinned, Eve had taken the message from the serpent and of course, convinced Adam that they should eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that suddenly this radiance that seemed to emit from them was gone, and it was no longer there. They knew something had changed. And basically, of course, is this symbolism? How do we understand the message? Well, basically, I think we have to understand that there are certain things that man is not supposed to know. Certainly, this is why they were not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were things that God did not want Adam and Eve to know because they were incapable of comprehending it. And this is one of the big problems of today. We have this insatiable quest for knowledge. We have our scientists out there trying to create new breeds of human beings. They're trying to, of course, genetically change crops, and they've changed crops. But now they want to genetically change humankind. They believe in transhumanism, of genetically engineering people and animals and adding human genes to animals and animal genes to human beings. And what if we're doing today are things that God never wanted mankind doing. But you picked the story up. You were simply talking about how suddenly there was something very much missing after God. After Adam and Eve had sinned, they seemed to lose this luminescence you described. Go ahead.
Right, and that is what we're going to have in the age to come. But the question is, how do we get it back? And so we see that it doesn't matter how much money I give to the poor, doesn't matter how many good things I do, how much I meditate, or, you know, maybe I'm just an amazing person, but it's all that is really for nothing, because a fundamental change needs to take place in my life. And that is why the Lord Jesus had to come. He died on the cross. And I think we know that story pretty well. But what happened there? And I was just praying about this as I was writing the book, that the Lord would show me from Scripture the mechanics of the incarnation. And so as I continued to look throughout Scripture, I was tracing the word seed. And first of all, I realized I didn't really understand what a seed was. You know, I planted a seed in the ground, and you kind of think you know where it is, but it has the husk, it's got the kernel. But these were all exterior kinds of things, and as I looked at them, I said, there has to be something more to this. It's not just these little things that, you know, make it do that. What is actually happening in there? And as I continued to study, I realized that I'm looking at chromosomes and genes, and then finally I got down to DNA. And what is even surprising there is that in the DNA, it's not simply the A, G, and T, and C that we're looking at, these nucleic acids, but it's the code that is programmed into the DNA. And it was when I read a book by Dr. Werner Gitt, in the beginning was Information, and one of his theorems, he states that information is a non-material entity. That's when light bulbs started going off in my brain, because I started putting these things together, and I realized that when the Bible talks about seed, it's partly talking about the physical medium, but it's really talking about the program. Think of it this way. If I have a program and I put it on a CD-ROM, it's not the CD that really matters to me. It's the program that's on it. Now, I need the CD-ROM to carry it, to transport it, to guard it, and all these things, but it's the program or the data itself that is of great value, and I'm willing to pay perhaps millions of dollars for such a program. But for the plastic itself, it's very, very cheap. So it's the program itself that is encoded in our DNA, that's encoded in the seed, that is what is at the heart of the word seed in Scripture. And we come upon some pretty surprising passages in the Bible. For example, in 1 John 3:9, it says, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." So here it's talking about God's seed, and the word here for seed is sperma in Greek, or in English that would be sperm. And as I was looking at these different terms, I realized that no matter what we want to call this thing, whether we want to call it a gamete or a seed or sperm, it all goes back to the same idea, really, seed. And I said, okay, I'm back to square one. What is a seed? And as you delve down into a seed, you realize that it's the information in there. So all that is sort of the context. And the Lord Jesus came, his incarnation, his body at his incarnation, was the combination of the 23 X chromosomes given to him by his mother Mary, and then the Holy Spirit provided the other 23 chromosomes, 22 of which were X's, and one of those was a Y chromosome. Now, that Y chromosome, we learn from biology and such, from genetics, is the Y chromosome is passed on from a father to son virtually unchanged from generation to generation. In fact, there are two evolutionists, Neil Braden and Mark Thomas, that talk about how this seed, this Y chromosome, they say it's virtually unchanged from generation to generation. And so, therefore, Adam's Y chromosome was passed on to all of his descendants, including us. We have the almost identical copy of Adam's Y chromosome in us. And yet, the Lord Jesus did not receive that Y chromosome. So already there, we see where this whole thing of original sin, it was passed on genetically. It's just like if you have a program that has an error on it, and then that program is copied, and then the copy of the copy, and the copy of the copy, and so on. You can see that the errors will always be copied, and even more errors will enter in just on account of entropy and what we call data loss. So that is really what's happening, is that we have a fundamental data loss that our master programmer, God, has to fix for us. Now, all of that is the context in which we begin to look at the second part of the prophecy, because there in Genesis 3:15, it says that I will cause enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. So first we examine what her seed is, that is the incarnation of the Lord, and then we can understand how Satan is going to copy this and how he's going to try to counterfeit it.
But basically, of course, what this is a conversation with Satan, an enmity between the seed of the woman and your seed.
Exactly.
He's saying to the serpent, there's going to be an eternal conflict between you and between the seed of the woman, who, of course, we assume is Jesus Christ our Lord. So this eternal spiritual battle that's been around for the last 6,000 years is being fought, and I believe it's coming to a climax in the very near future. So you go right ahead.
Well, and you see, this is where it really starts to get kind of spicy, because as time goes on, Satan begins to sort of try his hand at making this counterfeit Christ, but it would seem that he's not willing to sacrifice his own seed in this, but he allows his demons to give it a try first. And so we read in Genesis chapter 6 that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, it says the daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And then in verse 4 it says, there were giants, or Nephilim, on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them.
And what you're really talking, of course, is demonic beings, followers of Satan. When you say sons of God, this is not the people like you and I. This are sons of Adam. These are certainly the offspring of, or somehow related directly to Satan, and it is these then which are mating with women and creating the Nephilim, the giants.
Yeah, exactly. And as I was looking at this term, sons of God, I noticed that there were three classes of people, if you will, or beings that fall into this category of a son of God. It's referring here to the angels. It also is a reference to Adam in Luke chapter 3. And then it refers to those of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus. So we're all sons of God. And I realize that the common thread between them is that a son of God is a direct creation of God. And that's what makes somebody a son of God, is that he's a direct creation of God. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are given the right to become the children of God. We're told there in John 1, verse 12. Adam, of course, was a son of God, because he had no other father other than God himself. God formed him directly. And the angels were direct creations of God, because they were not produced via procreation, but they were created directly by God himself. So that's really what it's talking about. And when it talks about sons of God in the Old Testament, it's referring to angels, just as you said, and that's proven from the translation in the Septuagint and some other clues. So here you have these fallen angels who are coming down, and they're taking the daughters of men, that's just the daughters of Adam, and they realize that the text is beautiful, but it could also be that they are good. The word there in Hebrew is tovot, which just means that they were good. And I'm just suspicious that this could be referring to not so much their outward beauty, but more of their function, that they were good for something. And I would argue that that's an equally good translation there, that they're good for something. And what were they good for? Well, they're good to make children, not just any children, but these Nephilim. Now, the word Nephilim means the fallen ones, which gets translated into Greek as gegenes, or sometimes gigantes. And it means earth-born. And this is a term that was used in Greek mythology to refer to someone who was a hybrid, was a demigod, or was a child of the gods and a woman. And so the translators of the Septuagint were using this word for the word Nephilim, knowing full well the meaning that it had. So therefore, we can firmly conclude that these giants, these Nephilim, were hybrid between demon fathers and human mothers.
Hold that thought. Go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Coming of man, the second coming of Christ, and basically, of course, the Nephilim over here, we assume that they were all killed by the flood. Well, then, how would we, of course, get more Nephilim after they were all killed? Well, of course, more demons could come down and have relationships with women, and suddenly, we begin to study what's going on today, and you hear these stories about UFOs, these beings that come, we're told they're aliens, but I don't think they are. I think they're demonic beings. But what Doug points out so clearly is they seem to have a fixation on sex, on collecting eggs from women and sperm from men. And are they producing new Nephilim? That's the question. Are the Nephilim back, or will they be back in our society during our lifetimes? Go right ahead with that story there, Doug.
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right that they're at it again. And it's quite scary, I would say, when you begin to realize what is actually going on. And there are two quite prominent doctors who have really looked at the so-called abduction phenomenon. You have Dr. John Mack, who was a professor at Harvard University, who's professor of psychiatry. And then you also have Dr. David Jacobs, who is at Temple University, and unfortunately Dr. Mack passed on. But they both came at this whole abduction phenomenon as skeptics, as non-believers, They didn't have any axes to grind. They weren't trying to prove anything or to become famous or anything. But they continued to be confronted with people who who claimed to have been abducted by some type of creature and taken to some kind of vehicle. And what they began to do is, of course, catalog the people that would come in. These people had no idea who these other people were. But over the years, they made an account of these. And what they found was extremely startling, that, as you mentioned, this so-called medical examination was very much focused on the sexual or reproduction organs, and they would very often take sperm or they'd take eggs. And it's not because that these beings, these so-called aliens, and I agree with you, I do not believe in aliens. I don't think that there are any little green men from Mars or anything like that. I believe it's completely demonic in nature. But I do believe that it's happening for the most part. And so they are going out and they are collecting, again, the gametes of men and women. Now, why would, if these are supposedly these amazing, well-advanced beings from other, you know, another part of the galaxy or something, why would they come all this way to do these very strange, sadistic kind of experiments or such? Well, Dr. David Jacobs, who's been studying this for a very long time, he states that at first he was very excited about this whole phenomenon. He thought we were on the very verge of something huge and kind of a new age. And so during the course of his years of study, he was looking at this with a very positive kind of spin. But what he says now, he says, I've been involved with UFO research for about 32 years now, since about 1965, and I've never been downcast or depressed about the phenomenon. I've never been pessimistic about it, but I must say that now that I've learned as much as I've learned, I am very, very unsettled and upset by what I see. I do not like what I see. I wish I didn't see this. I wish I hadn't uncovered this. I despair of it. It's thrown me into a tremendous sense of concern about the future and unease. I do not want it to be this way. I wish I could not have ever imagined that I would come to this position. And so he goes on to talk about this whole abduction program. It's not some sexual experiment that they're doing, but he says it's actually it's a program. He says they're abducting people for a purpose, for a reason. It's an abduction program and a breeding program, which accounts for all the reproductive activity.
Well, I assume he is not a Christian.
No, he's not.
And basically, of course, if you're a Christian, you can begin to see sort of a pattern here. We may not understand it, but we know about the Nephilim existed, certainly in past times, the time of Noah. We know, we're told, as it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be again. And we can then, of course, look at these things. We may not understand them fully, but we know that there's a God, there is a plan that's unfolding. We do know the demonic forces here. And that's really what really makes it so exciting. If I didn't know what I do, I would be frightened to death. And yet I think we are blessed to live in one of the most exciting times in the history of mankind. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Douglas Hemp talking about his book. Douglas, you go right ahead.
Well, I think this just underscores what Jesus said, that as it was in the days of Noah, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. If what was happening in the days of Noah was that demonic activity taking women, whether they agreed or not, we're not entirely sure, but they saw some kind of purpose in these women. They then took them, and they had these Nephilim hybrid babies by them. that was happening back then, we see that it's happening right now. And to me, when I start to see that, I get excited, I get kind of nervous, I'm looking up, I'm just thinking, okay, we are very, very close. If it was happening back then, we see that it's happening now. And it didn't just start last year. This has been going on for about 65 years, roughly. And in fact, the time that it really got its big kickoff was in 1947, right around that same time when the UN voted that Israel could become a nation again. And so I find that very, very significant, that Israel as that time piece, Satan certainly, you know, doing his schemes behind the scenes, but he sees that Israel is now back in the land. That kind of gives him a prophetic time clock, all right, time is short. Let's get going with this whole thing. Let's get the world ready for what's coming. Now, why would he do all this? Why, you know, first of all, why have a hybrid breeding program? What's the purpose? I see it really as twofold. First of all, I believe that he wants to even out the playing field. When the Lord comes back, we read in Revelation 19 that it says, "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army." So the final battle is not mankind fighting against himself. It's not one nation against another nation, but it's all the nations of the earth gathered together, unified, to make war against the Lord Jesus. And when you start to think about this...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cindy Doug is putting everything going on today into spiritual context. And Cindy, even the recent reports of alien abductions and having to do with examining the women and taking their ovum and examining the men and taking their sperm home, and of course Doug Fields, as do I, that these are not aliens from another dimension, they're aliens from another planet, they're beings, demonic beings from another dimension. And this has something to do with the end time prophecies, as it was in the time of Noah, so it will be with the return of the Son of Man. Before we go on, Doug, I'd like you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get your website, how they can get your book, Corrupting the Image, is the title, Corrupting the Image, and it's subtitled Angels, Aliens, and the Antichrist Revealed. Go ahead.
My website is douglashamp.com, douglashamp.com. And they can order it from my website. It's also available at RaidersNewsNetwork.com, as is yours. And they can also find it on Amazon. So those are the three places they can get it. And, you know, I'm always excited when people come on and they write me a note. I do my very best to write back as soon as I can. So if they have questions or something, I'd love to interact with them. DouglasHamp.com.
Okay, fine. And Christian Douglas does a great job. Tom Horn, who publishes the book, a personal friend of mine. Tom has done a wonderful service in giving people who are writing about these supernatural phenomenon a place, of course, where they can get their books published. And of course, he's got a lot of books on this general subject. And of course, my book's not exactly here, but it's closely related. That's why, of course, he has reprinted my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. But this is a very, very interesting book, Corrupting the Image by Douglas Hemp. Now, our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question. But I think you have to realize, of course, that there is a spiritual battle. It is taking place today. It has something to do with the return of our Lord, as was prophesied simply thousands of years ago. And basically, of course, we see this whole move to change the very structure of human beings, this move for transhumanism, this effort to put human genes into animals, put animal genes into humans. What in heaven's name are they thinking of? And then, of course, what are these beings that are collecting sperm and collecting eggs? And what are they breeding? Are they breeding a new race of Nephilim? You go right ahead, Douglas, because the conjectures here certainly have to do with the very meaning of life. Either God, the story of the Bible, is true or it's not. I choose to think that it is. Certainly, I think it's the only thing that gives us any hope and any explanation for the insanity that grips the world we live in today. Go right ahead, Doug.
Well, you touched on transhumanism, and that is all part of this end times deception. Not only is Satan, you know, doing what he's doing, and he's doing all this so-called alien abduction stuff, but there's a more sort of a user-friendly side of this whole thing. It's a better PR package. And this is the idea of transhumanism. And let me read this by transhumanist Richard Seed. He states, "We are going to become gods, period. But if you're going to be interfere with me becoming a god, you'll have trouble. There'll be warfare." So mankind, and I mean what I'm talking about is scientists around the world, are actively working on changing the humanity from the DNA up. Basically going in sort of behind the computer, if you will, and rewriting our source code. Now it all sounds pretty good at first. If you have some kind of a disease, you can go and you can go into your code and you can fix that. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? Or maybe they can go ahead and fix, our short lifespan, or they can give us better vision, or they can, you know, some debilitating disease, they can supposedly go in there, rewrite the code, and then make us all better. It all sounds very nice, but that's not where they want to end. And we can see it a little bit by some of the creatures that they've been making. They've made something called a spider goat, which almost sounds like science fiction, but it's not. Back in 2005, there were some scientists out there who, the genetic scientists, they put in spider DNA into goat embryos to engineer a hybrid spider goat. Now, why would they do that? Well, they want the silk from the spider. The spider silk is one of the strongest substances known to man, ounce for ounce. It's stronger than steel. And so what you do is you put it into the goat, and then the goat will actually produce that silk in its milk. They milk the goat, they get out the silk, they isolate it, and now you have something for making Kevlar vests and all kinds of stuff like that. But now you have a creature, this spider goat. It's not completely goat, it's mostly goat, but it has a little bit of spider in there. And why this is very bad is because God said that everything should reproduce according to its kind. He keeps saying in Genesis chapter 1, let everything be according to its kind, according to its kind, according to its kind. And now what man is doing is he says, well, we don't believe in God, but even if there were a God, we don't need him because we can do our own stuff. We can go and start to make things the way we want them to be. Not only are they making spider goats, they've made pigs that glow in the dark, monkeys that glow in the dark, cats and all kinds of other animals. They've taken the glow-in-the-dark gene from the jellyfish, and they've inserted this into these various animals. And now you have these pigs and other things that glow through and through. In fact, the Taiwanese researchers are very proud of their pigs because they say, while other pigs are only slightly green, ours glow through and through. And these things glow in the dark. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And this is the kind of tinkering that's going on. And so these scientists, they're making different things around the world. They've fused human cells with rabbit eggs, and they allowed these things to grow for a while. A couple months ago, there was an article that came out that British scientists for the past 3 years have been making human-animal embryos. So they're making creatures that are basically human, but they have animal mixed in them. And again, what they're doing, and this really goes back to the part of the bigger thesis of my book, is that they're destroying the image of God. And once you destroy the image of God, you're no longer redeemable. You're no longer, is it possible for God to redeem them. and this is going to get into the mark of the beast as well. But the idea here is to evolve, to become what you want to be, to sort of raise yourself up by your own bootstraps by rewriting your code. And unfortunately, they're not willing to take the reboot that God wants to give, the genetic fix that he has made for man, but man thinks that he can do it himself. He can become his own God. He doesn't need God, so he says, and he can do it himself. And one of the foremost spokesmen on transhumanism is Dr. Ray Kurzweil, truly a forward visionary kind of thinker. And he states, evolution moves toward greater complexity, greater elegance, greater knowledge, greater intelligence, greater beauty, greater creativity, and greater levels of subtle attributes such as love. In every monotheistic tradition, God is likewise described as all of these qualities, only without any limitation, infinite knowledge, and so on. So evolution moves inexorably toward the conception of God, although never quite reaching this ideal. We can regard, therefore, the freeing of our thinking from the severe limitations of its biological form to be an essentially spiritual undertaking. So here's a man that's very much involved in, you know, cool gadgets. I mean, he came up with the first keyboard, electronic keyboard. He's very brilliant. And yet he imagines a world where clearly God is not, and that man can become his own God. Man can reach that state of where he can evolve so far that he can essentially live forever and have all kinds of amazing powers.
And I think the trouble is that between man's plan and time and God's plan and eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference, and God is not going to allow this to happen. Let me repeat that. Between man's plan and time and God's plan and eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. And I think we're in real trouble. Let's go to James, one of our regular listeners in South Carolina. Hi, James. How are we doing?
Doing well.
Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. This is not exactly what you're talking about, but it dovetails, I think, to an extent. There's a term, and I'm wondering if there's anything in the Bible that deals with it. It's called telogeny, or contamination of the germ. Are you familiar with what I'm speaking of?
I don't know. Do you know anything at all about that?
I've heard that term before, but I've not studied it.
So what it loosely means is that the first male to have sex with a woman contaminates or alters to an extent all of the eggs in the female, which stay in the female, you know, throughout her life. Now, I'm not saying that I believe this, but I've heard people talk about it.
I really don't think that's accurate. I think that's such a falsification, because that would mean that we certainly these develop one at a time. They don't develop simultaneously. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
No, that's all.
All right, God bless, and let's go right ahead, Doug.
So as we see, transhumanism, the very name itself, suggests that we're moving towards something else, and that goal is really to become post-human. And again, when we start looking at the image of God, we realize that God made us in his image and in his likeness. Now, at the fall, it certainly got messed up. It's marred. It's not all that it should be. But he has a plan to restore us, and that's, of course, through the blood of Jesus. He's going to give us a new body. He's going to make it really cool. I mean, it's everything that a new ager could possibly want and more. And it's free for everyone who will take it. You just have to go through the Lord Jesus, and it's by his blood that restores us to what we ought to be. And yet man says, no, I don't want to do that. And so this is now, because man's arrogance and man's pride to say, no, we can do it ourselves, we don't believe in God, I believe that what we see developing in Scripture and just developing in the headlines as we're just kind of read every day, that the world is getting ready for the taking away of the believers in Christ, and it's going to be attributed not to the Lord Jesus, but it's going to be attributed to the aliens, that it's the aliens that took all these bad people away, think Christians and such. And now the world will be ready to evolve to the next level. And this is when the Antichrist is going to show up on the world scene. And he's going to tell people that we took all those bad people away, but we have a plan for you. We're going to help you get through your greatest time of need. We've been watching over you. By the way, we're the ones that planted your DNA on planet Earth many millions and billions of years ago. We've been faithfully watching over you, and now we're here to help you. And we've got a plan for you to become all that you want to be. You can become essentially a God-type creature just like us. And this is going to be the biggest lie ever. I think that this is a strong delusion, and that because men would not receive the truth, they're going to receive this. They would not receive the solution for man's problem that God had. They're going to receive this. And this is what they want to be. And we're seeing this in the movies. There's a lot of propaganda that goes with this. What do we see in the movies? We see things like Spider-Man, right? Where you get bitten by this spider that has some, you know, strange genetics, and then he becomes a superhero. He gets all these really cool powers. I mean, okay, who wouldn't want to do that, right? I'd love to be flying through the buildings of New York and have cool powers and have web coming out of my wrist. I mean, that'd be pretty fun, right? I mean, it'd be really cool. We also see things like the X-Men, where humanity is going to evolve and get all these amazing powers, and the people that don't evolve are the ones that really need to be pushed aside, and they're the ones that are just not keeping up with the times. But the people that are evolving, they're going to have these godlike powers that they can do anything that their heart desires. And this is what we continually are seeing thrown at us in the movies. It's on not only the movies, but on TV, so that people are kind of have this craving for this. I mean, it's kind of cool. You like these movies. I think they're fun to watch. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. But I am understanding what's going on behind it, that this is part of a scheme on Satan's part to get man to let his guard down and say, I'd love to have that, and to get him ready. Just to give you an illustration, there's a singer named Katy Perry, and she wrote a song called E.T., and she made a video. It's been seen by, I think, over 200 million people on YouTube, so it's gotten a lot of circulation. And in this video, in the song, she is singing about her alien lover, and she's talking about having sex with this E.T., and it's this sort of this hideous kind of beauty where it's very seductive. I mean, she's, you know, very attractive in this whole thing. But then this idea of having this alien sex, and what should be an absolute, you know, just something in absolute disgust is being portrayed as being very beautiful and being very good, and it's about love and all this, and they're getting people ready for what is coming. And I think the world just has no idea what is coming toward them. And this really is the deception, that it's going to look like it's good, it's going to look like these are our space brothers. They've come to save the day, and they have a solution for us. They're going to help us when the world is going through all kinds of cataclysmic events. And just to give you an idea, there have been a lot of messages that people have been getting from these so-called aliens. And what they're saying in these messages goes something like this, that the Earth is going to experience all kinds of cataclysms, and it's going to have these events that will be taking place, and that these aliens are coming to help us in our time of great need. And they're going to make they're going to have a plan for us so that we can get through these. And what they're going to do is they're going to come sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. I'm sorry about that. But basically, these messages are such that the aliens are going to show up at the right time. They're going to, after people have been taken away, they talk about the disappearance of millions of people in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, they say. They're going to be taken up to the motherships, and they're going to be retrained, or they're going to move on. They're going to be left in the other dimension, all different kinds of ways that they look at this. But then these aliens are going to come. They're going to help us achieve that next level of evolution.
Of higher consciousness, involved in that. Well, we're living in exciting times. I think it's going to be fascinating, but at least we know we can rely upon the Lord, whatever happens. Our guest has Ben Douglas Hemp. His book, corrupting the image. Well, Doug, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, you know, I would just encourage people out there.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States.
He's talking about. We really are involved in a spiritual battle being fought out on a political, ideological, but even on a scientific battlefield, because there really are people who are trying to change the very nature of humanity with transhumanism. If you haven't, of course, read that, I certainly need Tom Horne's book. Apollyon Rising 2012. We actually carry the book. We think it's important because, in part because I write the foreword to it. And then, of course, we have the book, my book, certainly Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to understand that there is another world out there. And this is a spiritual world. So basically, you can get Apollyon Rising, or you can get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the 4-tape set on the supernatural. You can get the DVD the supernatural. It's with Joanna Michelson when she was here with us. Just after Joanna Michelson's DVD, she gave a wonderful talk. And we, of course, carry the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. They use copies, but it's an important book to have, and where Joanna Michelson tells her experience. You need to get certainly the 4-CD set on the Aquarian Conspiracy. It's Constance Cumby's interviews with me explaining what the people on the other side say about the coming climax we're going to be reaching. We have Constance Cumby's excellent book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and Gerser DVD talk on the emergence. What is the emergence? Well, it's Constance Cumby talking about what she's been told by people who are working within the other dimension. And that is, of course, of the coming world leader, the coming of the Antichrist. And they know that this is Luciferian, and then they brag about it among themselves. And yet most people have little or no idea. So that would be the DVD, The Emergence, the four tape set, The Aquarian Conspiracy, four CD set, I should say. And then the book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. Certainly the talk by Joanna Michelson on the supernatural. Joanna Michelson's a four CD set on the supernatural. Her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, takes you into the other dimension, and understanding is not imaginary, it's real, because Joanna was a medium. And then, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. These are all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Let me mention once again, Tom Horn's great book, Apollyon Rising 2012, talking about how all of the prophecies are coming together, certainly suggesting that some major events are going to take place in 2012. We don't know what it is. Maybe it's not going to take place there. We're not going to be like Carol Camping guaranteeing this, but certainly it is not the action. The Mayan calendar ends certainly in 2012. Nostradamus, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, writing about the year 2012. Many of the ancient Hebrew writings talking about 2012. But if you listen to my recent interviews with Constance Cumby, she will tell you that the people actively involved with the other dimension today are pointing out that something big is going to happen in 2012. Certainly, Ken Fromm, who was a part and parcel of what we call the Brotherhood of Darkness, had told Lindsay Williams something serious was going to happen at the end of 2012. We're living in exciting times. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Be sure you have a personal relationship with our Lord. If you don't, read the book of John, so you'll be prepared for the what I believe are some very difficult times that lie ahead. And then pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is Tuesday, December 13th, 2011, and we appreciate your joining us today. Appreciate you searching and wanting to know what is really behind the charade on television. I mean, if you're watching it now and you're watching election, it is so unbelievably agendized. I mean, you can see right through it. I'm sure those of you who have been listening to the Power Hour can see absolutely straight through what's happening. Gingrich has been christened to be the winner by the Republican administration, though he's not quite there yet. He wants to have it sewn up by May, he says. However, Ron Paul's creating quite a problem for him. I think the Romney-Gingrich fight is just